Today is our last worship service of 2025, and for a few moments today, I want to look back at the preaching series from the year and then talk about a little bit about Believe and what's coming in 2026. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verses 15 through 17, Paul encourages the Christians in Ephesus with these words. "Be very careful then," he says, "how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." That phrase, "making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil," is also translated as "redeem the time because the days are evil." That means we're to make the most of our opportunities, that we're to live faithfully day after day after day, that we're not to use our time foolishly or focus on trivial matters, but instead think about the things of God and be faithful in our service to God. This is a conscious effort to live with purpose, recognizing that each day is indeed a gift from God to be used for His glory. I hope that you can look back on 2025 and say, you know what, I think I did pretty well in 2025. I think I redeemed the time. I think I lived with purpose and significance each and every day of my life. And I hope we try to redeem the time with our worship services and our preaching in 2025 as well. So let's look back at how this year began. In January, as you might recall, we began the year with our Dream Big series. We had the Dream Big board out in the gathering area, remember that? And we had share and prayer triplets that were meeting, and we were trying to expand our view of what Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren could be. And you came up with some great dreams, and some of them were a little more interesting than others, let me tell you that. But we'll be incorporating some of those dreams in our upcoming cottage meetings here in the month of February and March, and kind of build on that Dream Big series as we sort of hone in on what is it God is calling us to in the coming years. A key passage of that series, for that series, was Ephesians 3, 20 to 21, which says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So I think that was a great way to begin this year, by dreaming big about what are the possibilities here that God has for us as Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren. Our next series came during the Lenten season, and it took us right up to Easter. And it was a series entitled Encounters with Jesus. And we looked at some of the encounters that Jesus had as He was making His way from Galilee in the north to Jerusalem and, of course, to the cross. And we had sermons on blind Bartimaeus, the rich young ruler, the Roman centurion, to name a few. At the end of the sermon on the rich young ruler, I drew this following conclusion. I said, "I wonder what became of the rich man after he went home sadly. Was that the end of his relationship with Christ? The rich young ruler kept his money, but he lost a kingdom. It was the worst transaction he ever made. His value system was absurd. We should be able to give everything we have and do anything we can if it means inheriting the kingdom of God. Jesus says, 'What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?' The rich ruler, he knew the rules, but he never had a relationship. And Jesus was calling him to a relationship. 'Come and follow me,' he said. But he was stuck on the rules. 'What must I do to inherit eternal life?' And he missed the amazing grace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. He seemingly had it all, but he was one of those ones that I think Jesus misses the most," a phrase that we've used often here in this past year. The series after Easter was the hardest preaching series of the year for me, as the one I got the most comments about. It was the series Questions from Young Disciples. And I'll tell you, it was challenging. The series was based on questions from our Roots kids that they wanted to answer, and I had to work extra hard to come up with sermons in that series. Questions like, who was Cain's wife? And why are there so many mysteries in the Bible? And what is heaven like? Those were tough to answer. And for 5 weeks, though, we attempted to answer those questions. But perhaps the most memorable question from that series was, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? You remember that? Yes. So I went back to see how I answered that question. Since the Bible, you won't find the word belly button in the Bible anywhere. It doesn't tell us. And I came down on the side of believing that they probably didn't have belly buttons because they were never attached to an umbilical cord. But interestingly, most artists, when they paint Adam and Eve, paint them with belly buttons. So I guess it's just sort of weird to picture someone without one. So we never did answer that question well, and I'm not sure we will this side of heaven. But I appreciate the questions from our little roots, and I hope they appreciated that series as I attempted to answer. There's a good possibility we'll revisit some of those questions because there's a whole list of them, and that was just a sampling of them, so we might hit some more of them here come the summer. Our preaching series on the summer was the life of David, and boy, that was a great series as we covered much of David's life, his high points and his low points. And David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible tells us that. But he was certainly not the best husband and father. He died in the arms of a stranger because he made strangers of his own family. And there are so many life lessons that we can glean from David's life. But the key one throughout the series was that David continued to faithfully seek God. And I think that's why one half of the Psalms, of the 150 Psalms in the Bible, are written by David. Because he was continually seeking God, even when he failed miserably. In August, we had our Fam Jam weekend, and we lived on the Sermon on the Mount. You may recall that. I remember preaching Saturday night and Sunday morning from Matthew 7, reminding you that the Sermon on the Mount is indeed tough. There's some tough teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, but it is God's standard for us for righteous living. In September, we kicked off the series Just Like Jesus as we looked at different aspects of Jesus' heart. Sermons included a worship-hungry heart, a listening heart, a forgiving heart, an honest heart, a hope-filled heart, an enduring heart. And the purpose of that series was to challenge you a little bit to have a heart just like Jesus. And as I concluded that series, I made this statement. That is that God has an ambitious plan for us. The same God who saved your soul longs to remake your heart. His plan is nothing short of total transformation. Romans 8:29 from the Modern Translation, The Message, says, He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love Him along the same lines as the life of His Son. God wants to change us into the likeness of the Savior. He wants us to be just like Jesus. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus, and may our hearts be compassionate, worship-hungry, forgiving, hope-filled, listening, enduring, and honest as we seek to be just like Jesus. In November, we observed Remembrance Sunday, and then we had two sermons from the Old Testament, one from Jacob's story as he's wrestling with God, and then the story from Exodus chapter 3, the story of Moses and the burning bush, for a message about how God gets our attention. And then a Thanksgiving message followed, and then we were right into Advent. And with the help of Rachel Johnson, we covered the 4 weeks of Advent, looking at the biblical reasons why Jesus came to earth, and why we celebrate Christmas. We followed that last sermon in that series with our candlelight communion service here the Sunday night before Christmas, and then 3 days later, we had our Christmas Eve candlelighting service. It's an amazing year. It's an amazing year, and I hope you can say, boy, I think we did redeem the time well. And as Paul said, we made the most of our opportunities. But as good as 2025 was, I'm convinced 2026 is going to be even better. And we are hitting the ground running next Sunday with our featured series for 2026, Believe. For 30 of the 52 weeks in the next year, we will be in the Believe series. It starts next Sunday. It'll run for 20 weeks through the end of May. We will take the Easter Sunday off from Believe as we celebrate our Lord's resurrection. And then we'll take a break over the summer months of June, July, and August and conclude with the last 10 weeks of the series beginning in September and wrapping up in November. Over the 30 weeks of Believe, we'll be looking at 10 core teachings of the Bible, 10 practices of believers, and 10 virtues that every believer should have. It'll be an amazing year together. And it's an amazing year because we will be redeeming the time as we understand better what do we believe and why do we believe it and how that shapes us to become more like Jesus. So why are we engaging in this Believe series? Let me share a story with you that might help us to understand the answer to that question of why. Robert Reed said, "I have everything I need for joy. His hands are twisted and his feet are useless. He can't bathe himself. He can't feed himself. He can't brush his teeth. He can't comb his hair or put on his underwear. Strips of Velcro hold his shirts together. His speech drags like a worn-out audio cassette. Robert has cerebral palsy. The disease keeps him from driving a car, riding a bike, and going for a walk. But it didn't keep him from graduating from high school or attending Abilene Christian University, from which he graduated with a degree in Latin. Having cerebral palsy didn't keep him from teaching at St. Louis Junior College or from venturing overseas on 5 mission trips. Robert's disease didn't prevent him from becoming a missionary in Portugal. He moved to Lisbon alone in 1972, and there he rented a hotel room and began studying Portuguese. He found a restaurant owner who would feed him after the rush hour and a tutor who would instruct him in the language. And then he stationed himself daily in the park, where he distributed brochures about Christ. Within 6 years, he led 70 people to the Lord, one of whom became his wife, Rosa." Max Lucado said, "I heard Robert speak recently. I watched other men carry him in his wheelchair onto the platform. I watched them lay a Bible in his lap. I watched his stiff fingers force open the pages. I watched people in the audience wipe away tears of admiration from their faces. Robert could have asked for sympathy or pity, but he did just the opposite. He held his bent hand up in the air and boasted, 'I have everything I need for joy.' His shirts are held together by Velcro, but his life is held together by joy. Why? How? Because he studied the scriptures and he believed. And boy, do we need more people like Robert Reed. That's why we're doing the Believe series, that we would believe and know what we believe, and we would have this joy that would just permeate everything we do. What are some of the objectives of the Believe series? First of all, this is a whole church effort, which we think will bring tremendous unity to the body of Christ here at Mechanic Grove. About 10 years ago, I believe the Mechanic Grove Church engaged in the Story series. You remember? Some of you were here for that. Engaged in the story and how that brought tremendous unity to the congregation. This, too, is an all-church program, very similar. The Believe series, we hope, will do the same thing. The sermons will be tied to the Sunday school lesson each week. All of our Sunday school classes are doing Believe in conjunction with the sermon. Our children and youth are doing Believe as well. And the Wednesday night Bible study that I lead will take it even deeper as we look at even more scriptures about that week's topic. Second, I'm hoping this series will foster a hunger for the Word of God. We will be studying God's Word together as we better understand what we believe and why we believe. It's important as a church that we know what we believe and why. And it is important that we communicate to our community what it is we stand for, not simply what we are against. And finally, this study will help us to be a more effective witness to others. We'll know what we believe and why we believe and the difference it makes in our lives. It will empower us to more effectively share our story. And hopefully, the series will help us to become a congregation of first-class inviters. Hey, come to Mechanic Grove. Come and hear what we're studying in this Believe series and how we're growing in our faith. Hopefully, these purposes will be accomplished as we live out the goals of this study. And I think that'll happen as these three things must happen for us. First of all, you have to desire to discover the truth of God. This series is going to push you some. It's going to force you into the Word more perhaps than you have ever been. And so you need to be ready to discover the truth. You need to think more. It's going to cause you to think. Once we've acquired the important truth about God, we have to do something with it. We have to act. So there'll be lots of action steps in this series, things that you'll have to do because of what you believe. And finally, we'll discover with our mind, choose to obey with our will, we can now influence our emotions and behaviors and what we will become, which is to be like Jesus in the image of Jesus for the very sake of others. There are three divisions to the belief study. In the think section, there are 10 key truths, and that's what we're starting with next Sunday. 10 key truths. Some of these are, what do I believe about God? How is God a personal God? What do I believe about salvation, about the Bible, about my identity in Christ? What do I believe about the church and humanity and compassion and stewardship and eternity? 10 key truths that are the foundation of our faith. That's where we'll start and help us to learn to think biblically and theologically. Then we'll focus on things that we need to act upon, key practices of believers. The 10 key practices that we'll cover here in the months of March and April and into May include worship and prayer and Bible study, single-mindedness, total surrender, biblical community, spiritual gifts, offering my time, giving my resources, sharing my faith. Then after our summer break, we'll come back in the fall and focus on the B part of the Believe series. And look at 10 key virtues: love and joy and peace, self-control, hope, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, humility. 10 key truths, moving us to 10 key practices, leading us to 10 key virtues. That's the 30 weeks of Believe. And what a journey it's going to be. What a journey it's going to be. Think, act, and be. We're to learn these truths not to debate theology, but to live out our faith, to live out the truth. Not to defend God, but to express faith in the way we live. Not to win an argument, but to save a soul. Not to be frustrated with our failures, but to be freed from our frustrations. Robert Reed said, "I have everything I need for joy. Do you?" His shirts are held together by Velcro. His life is held together by joy. Is yours? Why is his life held together by joy? Because he studied the scriptures and he believed. And that's my prayer for us as well, is that we would study the scriptures and believe. And in our too, our lives would be held together by joy. Let me close with this story. An old man went to the doctor complaining that his wife could barely hear. The doctor suggested a test to find out the extent of the problem. He said, "Stand far behind her and ask her a question, and then slowly come up to see how far away you are before she first responds." The old man, excited to finally be working towards a solution, runs home to find his wife preparing supper. "Honey," the man asked, standing about 20 feet away, "what's for supper?" After receiving no response, he tried again from 15 feet away. Again, no response. So he moved to 10 feet away. Still, no response. Finally, he was 5 feet away, and he yells, "Honey, what's for supper?" And she replies, "For the fourth time, it's lasagna." So often, we assume it's the other person who has the problem. It's us. We're the ones that need to do the changing. And Jesus wants us to focus on changing ourselves. Change is our transformation of our character. It's believing in Jesus. That's what it's all about. When a person comes to faith in Christ, he is saying much more than, "I want my sins forgiven." To believe means to trust. But to believe means I'm going to allow this gospel to change me. I'm going to allow God's word to change me. I'm going to allow God's Holy Spirit to transform me. The problem is many people don't want that kind of belief. They simply want the fire insurance. You know, the fire insurance to get out of hell. But that's not what God intended for us. Jesus came not to simply give us fire insurance, but to totally transform our lives. He wants us to think differently, to believe, and to live with passion and conviction and purpose. And so my New Year's resolution this year is, Lord, change me. Change me to believe with every ounce of my being who you are, what your word says, what you're calling me to do. And I wish the same for you. So as we begin this journey called Believe, the first thing I want you to do is to take that challenge. I'm going to believe in this new year. I'm going to believe that I can change, that I'm not too stuck in my ways, too stuck in my understanding, that I can still learn and grow and change in 2026. If you believe that, then 2026 will be a year of incredible change when we think, act, and be more like Jesus. So friends, let's redeem the time together in this new year as we study the Scriptures together and believe. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we are excited to be able to look back with great thanksgiving on this past year and anticipate the blessings you have for us in the year ahead. As we engage in the Believe series, Lord, may we come with an openness, a willingness to be changed. Changed by your word, changed by the gospel, changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. May this be a year where we truly believe and know why we believe and what we believe. We pray that your Spirit will bless us in this journey ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.